This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
From the unexplained to the mundane, join us on our journey to the fringe. Hello and welcome to Journey to the Fringe, where we take Fringe Halloween seriously. And for any frat members out there looking for a Fringe Halloween costume, might I suggest a chupacabra? I did have to put hold for applause there, just in case. We are your spooky hosts, Taylor and Chelsea, here today talking about, I almost want to call this a creature feature, but it's not quite that. It's kind of hard to explain, but it is basically sightings of robed figures in the night.
That alone gives me the creeps, and I'm so super excited.
Here's the weird thing. It's hard to separate it out, because there's a couple things that always came up when I was searching this. First and foremost, shadow people. We've done a Shadow People episode. Go take a look at the Shadow People episode. I'm keeping that part
but
out
they're
of this.
They're not roped. Sometimes they have hats.
And here's the thing. If they're blacked and hooded, it's hard to tell whether or not they're a shadow person.
Okay, touche.
The next part where this comes up, Death, the Grim Reaper. A very well-known hooded or roped figure. Yeah. I have decided to kind of just keep that one out of this.
You took the Grim Reaper out. Okay,
good. And the other part that I've somewhat avoided just because I think it's its own topic on its own, stumbling across cults, because I do know there are somewhat that are larger sightings like that. But right now, really all I'm focusing on is sightings of robed or hooded figures in the night that are unexplainable.
Okay, I can pick that up. I can pick up what you're putting down.
Because I had to put those limitations on it for what I decided to do, I found it actually kind of weird.
You only have one sighting?
No, in fact, I have many sightings, which is just, it's good. And
I was scared for a second.
And we end the episode now because I couldn't actually find anything. So
the criteria was just too strict.
Too strict. You know, you guys, I stick to my morals on my strictness. No, what I came across, I actually found really interesting in that these can be traced back fairly far, in that we find carvings of hooded or robed figures all the time that we can't really explain.
No, we don't.
And this comes from a website called Ancient Pages, and the article title is called Mystery of the Hooded Ones, Enigmatic Cloaked Figures. And I really like the way this one went, and I just kind of wanted to give like a bit of a background on how at least there's an unexplained hooded figure in cultural backgrounds. This is written by Jan Bartek on February 10th, 2020. Depictions of mysterious hooded ones have been encountered in various European places. Who were these enigmatic cloaked individuals? And why is it so hard to determine their gender? Were they made in the image of pagan gods, monks, dwarves, spirits, or some unknown strangers we haven't been able to identify yet? The enduring mystery of the figures remains a captivating historical subject. There are many speculations and theories on genius Cucullatus, which means the hooded one.
No, it's not. They named it something scientific.
Yeah, they have a Latin name for it.
That's funny.
Several stone carvings depicting the hooded ones, clay statuettes, have been unearthed in continental Europe and Britain. A famous carving of the hooded ones can be found on Hadrian's Wall. In most cases, it's impossible to say whether they were women or men, but a carving found in the Mosel region shows the hooded ones wearing mustaches. And that particular carving gives off us reason to think they could have been males. The hooded ones wear a long cloak covering them from the head to the ankles. This outfit makes it only possible to see the face of the Hooded One. On carvings, we find them depicted either as singular or as triplets. Statues of the Hooded Ones have been found near springs, leading some scholars to believe that these beings were gods of healing. Over the centuries, people have observed the waters and its powers and created myths and legends related to it. Water has been credited with purification and healing effects. Sometimes the Hooded Ones wear a sword, which gives us reason to speculate whether they were guardians. What could they have protected? Historians and mythology experts emphasize that these puzzling cloaked individuals occasionally stand next to Linus, the god of healing. Being his presence indicates they may have been regarded as protectors against disease. Although these sculptures resemble those of the Greco-Roman deity Telesphorus, hooded attendant of Asclepius, scientists know today that the Hooded Ones, they put the Latin name, I can't say it, I'm just going to put the Hooded Ones, have been considered a figure peculiar to the Celtic cultures of Britain and Gaul. I find this really interesting speculation here. Some researchers who studied the Hooded Ones point out we should pay attention to the small size of these cloaked beings. Can their height offer clues to their identity? Waldemar Diona, who wrote a monograph on hooded supernatural beings, said that they may not have been great gods, but rather minor gods, demons, or spirits. Diona asserts that the Hooded One is usually a child or a dwarf, more rarely an adult of normal height. Other scholars before and after him have considered the Hooded Ones to be dwarves. However, an examination of photos and sketches of the figures themselves allow one to wonder what evidence there is for such a conclusion. I think I can end that there, just with the dwarf thing. I wanted to add that just because it's a mythical being. I thought it would be fun to include at least that speculation.
Oh, I just want to make a comment. I pulled up exactly the article that I think you're reading. The first one, I see two different...
They have a bunch of different photos in there.
I've at least scrolled to the second one so far. And okay. The first one is of three, like Taylor said, triplets. They do look probably like men in, like, in robes. You can see their face. They're robed. It's like a cloak coming up to like a little point. And then their feet are sticking out. And then the next one is kind of I'm assuming it's a side profile.
It could be a side profile. It could just be the erosion has kind of taken away any features. It's hard to say for sure, though.
That's true. I want to say side profile, though. And it looks like they're moving in a line. Still three of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no faces on that one. And, oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yep, there are more pictures. I'm going to stop my commentary here. I just wanted to describe the figures.
That's really good. And Chelsea, there's actually, it's not just a European phenomenon either. I found this on I think it was the Economist. It was a really weird website that I wasn't expecting to see it. National Post is where it was. Apparently, it has some ground in Inuit culture too.
Really? That's what, unless they're wearing a warm coat.
This is the weird thing. And Chelsea, you can take a look. National Post hooded figurine Inuit. If you Google that, you should be able to find it. As they dug into the foundation of an ancient proto-Inuit house on Baffin Island, archaeologists George and Deborah Sabo were turning up the usual artifacts. Bones, balings, harpoon heads, bits of wood, but then their tools unearthed something downright eerie. A faceless man in a hooded robe with a simple cross emblazoned on his chest. To any modern Westerner, the figure instantly was recognizable as a member of the Roman Catholic clergy. But the nomadic Thule people living at the time of the Middle Ages should have seen these figures as alien as Martians. To the Sabos, the eerie figurine was proof that the mythical Hlululund mentioned in Viking sagas wasn't mythical at all. It had been the Arctic Canadians all along. But it's a super creepy looking doll.
Oh, it's super creepy. Yep.
So yeah, hooded figures kind of pop up everywhere. Now, Chelsea, I just wanted to show that this thing isn't just a recent phenomenon. It appears to go further back. It's hard to find stories, though, specifically of that, and especially separated out, because there are weird groups that like to have traditions in the woods wearing robes. So it is hard to get rid of those people that are just, you know, doing normal, I don't know, orgy stuff in the woods around a burning thing.
Really, if you want to be doing weird shit in the woods, you got to wear a robe. That's just the law of nature.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to bring it back again, DuckTales, but this always reminds me of my favorite episode of DuckTales.
With the Druids?
With the Druids. It's come up many a times. I love that episode. I bring it up far more than I should. But I just had to say it one more
time. It's just so relevant to everyday life, apparently.
It's so relevant, especially to hooded figures.
Now, Chelsea, for the first part of this, I took a lot of the sightings from the website Phantoms and Monsters, which is heavily used in the Fortean research. Yeah, and it is Lorne who does all the interviews for this. And he was heavily used for the Mothman episodes or the Mothperson episodes.
He was, yeah. Big fan of that website. He does a good job.
He does a great job. And he has quite a few robed figure encounters. This first one I'm going to read comes from...
I'm so excited that we're getting stuff from him.
Posted on May 23rd, 2024. Very recent. I'm going to leave the title out just so we can hear this account without giving away what's going to happen in it.
Okay, the title is a spoiler alert. Okay.
Oh yeah, the titles are all spoiler alerts with this stuff.
Don't read the title then.
I was hunting with a friend of mine, Tony, deep in the mountains of Northern California. We went to the top of a ridge to get a good look at the area and try and pick a likely place to find some boar. I saw a dirt road to the east, a fire trail actually, and was about to write it off when I noticed a row of campers driving along. They disappeared behind a hill at the edge of the valley. I scanned the valley floor and found several other campers near the tree line. Tony suggested we go over and see if they would share a meal and a warm fire with two worn out hunters. It was dark by the time we got to the hill they disappeared behind, so we climbed up to get a good last bearing and distance estimate. What we found was surreal. About half a mile away in the middle of the clearing was a bonfire. Instinctively, we both dropped to the ground and crawled to some brush for cover overlooking the valley. I scanned the area looking for the camp and any security they might deploy. Tony surveyed the other side of the valley. When he grabbed my arm, I turned and followed his gaze. There were two groups of people standing near the edge of the valley, right below us. One was wearing black hooded robes and the other white. A figure carrying a staff and wearing a red hooded robe walked out of the trees towards the fire. The others followed in two single file lines. At the fire, the red figure stopped and raised his arms. The black robes circled clockwise and the white robes counterclockwise until they completely encircled the fire, alternating black and white. We could hear chanting, but we couldn't make out any words. After about an hour of chanting and walking around the fire, first in one direction, then the other, they stopped, and a naked man was brought out from the tree line, bound and blindfolded. He was presented to each of the robe figures clockwise around the fire before being presented to the red figure. He was then made to lie down at the red figure's feet. Then a naked and bound woman was brought out, and the process was repeated counterclockwise before she was laid next to the naked man. I at least had no idea what I was watching or what I should do. There was more chanting. And then silence as four black robe figures emerged from the tree line carrying a black robe much like a flag. They circled the fire clockwise, once behind the figure and once in front of them. Each black figure touched the robe as it passed. Then they arrived at the red figure. They stopped over the naked man. The red figure said something and the other responded. He then pointed his staff at the naked man and the four laid the robe over top of him. After another chant, a white robe was brought out and the process was repeated counterclockwise, stopping over the naked woman. The red figure said something and the other responded. He then pointed his staff at the naked woman and the four laid the robe over top of her. The red figure waved his hands and staff over them and raised the staff over his head. The robe bearer then picked up the robes as they had before and the two rose from the ground. The robe bearers then lifted the robes over their heads. The two then circled the fire twice, embracing each member, first the robes of their color and then the other. And when they got back to the red figure, he pointed towards the camp with the staff and the new members led the procession back to camp. I watched them enter the tree line and then looked back to the fire for the red figure. He hadn't moved. When the last couple was out of the clearing, the bonfire flashed green and then red, and the red robe collapsed to the ground. We ran all the way back to our truck that night, and we were too scared to stop. The next morning, we stopped at Denny's for breakfast. We had put more than 60 miles between us and the clearing and felt safe. While we were eating, two couples came in. One sat behind Tony and the other behind me so that we each saw one of them. They just smiled at us while we ate. When we left, we saw two campers in the parking lot. Tony and I never spoke about that night. We found a better hunting area far away from that clearing. It has been nearly 40 years since that night, but each time I see a camper, it reminds me of the incident. And that was submitted by Jay.
Okay, now give me the title. I'm pretty sure I know what that was.
Hunters Encounters Robed Figures Conducting Bizarre Ritual Around Bonfire.
Okay, so that was a KKK rally.
It could have been, but the black and red robes are kind of different.
But if you Google it, you'll see black and red robes for KKK.
Yeah, that's actually a fair point.
And I do have something to say with that. That was for sure a KKK rally. Funny enough, in my just readings through Reddit, in like various things, Ask Reddit, even paranormal communities, that people just say, what's the weirdest thing you stumble upon in the woods at night? A lot of people are commenting that they stumbled onto a KKK rally in the middle of the woods.
Yeah, and I guess that is its own scary implications, and really fits with the theme of this week, apparently.
Yeah, the amount of times I see it pop up on Reddit is disturbing, and therefore spooky for Halloween, and spooky because this exists in our world as something that you have to be careful not to stumble into the woods on. And keep in mind that, I mean, that's for sure makes me uncomfortable about that. And you know what, a lot of the ones that I stumbled to on Reddit were on our neighbors down in Oregon and Washington.
Oh yeah, Oregon's really bad.
Apparently it's, you wouldn't think it would be, but apparently,
well,
so
outside of the major cities it's bad. All right, this next one. This is a true account, even though it's difficult for me to believe sometimes. This occurred right after I graduated from high school in the spring of 73. That fall, a buddy and another friend of mine came over to my place. We lived close to the University of Tennessee campus in Knoxville. We went over to get a pitcher of beer at a local watering hole. There were no girls with us to bother us or anything like that. I don't know why they had to include that. Well, we got a pitcher of beer and then went back to my neighborhood. One of us had to relieve ourselves, so we turned into a Baptist church parking lot that I have attended a time or two. We turned up into the driveway, and there were about six characters dressed in cowled red robes.
No.
Like a monk wears. Hoods and robes all the way down to the ground. So we come around the corner to this church. My buddy was driving his beat up old Volkswagen Beetle. Freaked out, hit the reverse, made a U-turn, and got out of there. We tried to get him go back, but of course, he wouldn't do it. The oddest thing about it was these people, whoever they were, seemed to move strangely. It's almost like a scattershot thing. Elbows raising, that sort of thing. I don't know what that means. They just kind of moved around the corner. I've wondered about that for all of these years. I haven't got a clue. All this time, we just kind of figured it was devil worshippers. But if they were, why in a church parking lot? I'll never know, but it sure has freaked me all these years.
What if it's just something mundane, like the monks get together at night to like...
Well, they have to move pews at night or something like that.
Yeah.
In full garb.
Yeah. Everything else is dirty.
Yeah. You know what? Maybe they had their clotheslines out and it was just the wind blowing them about.
No, this is Halloween. It's supposed to be spooky.
It's spooky, yes. Well, there laundry can be spooky.
It can. It really can. It is. It is spooky. Always.
Chelsea, next one. They get spookier from here. Hi, Lon. I'd like your opinion on my encounter. Back in about 2003, I worked at the city jail here in Louisville, Kentucky, and I live kind of in a more remote area. You know, at the time, I was driving home after work, very long double shift, about 1 o'clock in the morning. I got off at midnight, so about halfway home, I drive on the road along the river. There's not much down there except for old terminals. There's not much activity down there at night. It's literally right next to the Ohio River. The other side is Indiana. As I'm driving,
I know,
Indiana, terrifying. As I'm driving, I come up on these three figures. You know, three people,
no.
And they looked like they were wearing old-time robes. And they were standing literally in the middle of the road to where they blocked both lanes. I stopped. I turned my bright lights on to look at them. One of them raised its arm to me, and that's when I noticed their eyes were glowing red. I had the creepiest feeling. I felt like I was in grave mortal danger. I did not dare try to go forward, and I mean, I was armed in everything, but I turned around and went the long way home. I got home around 2 a.m. instead of my usual. I wasn't that far from home, but I turned around and went back. I just felt like I was in mortal danger, and the energy that night was weird. My cat was doing strange things, and there was a lot of fog that night. After these many years since that encounter, I still feel a sense of grave mortal danger. I really hope he just means what he thinks about that. And it's just like not a constant feeling of grave mortal danger since that time.
Yeah, maybe when he thinks about it even. Oh my God, what do you do? What do you do if you see that? Do you ram him?
Yeah. Oh, I turn the fuck around.
Do you risk stopping the car at that point? You make sure the doors are locked and then you turn around?
Yeah, we've gone over kind of the drill at night. Yeah, we've gone over this drill. People know what to do at this point. If not, please listen to the back catalog. It's come up many a time. What to do with encounters at night in the car.
You remind me because I forgot and now I'm nervous.
It's in the Benny and Barney Hill. Definitely it came up. The Mothman episodes, it definitely came up. And I think there's one more, but I can't remember off the top of my head.
Do you remember what to do? Because I forgot. No, I'm I'm nervous.
No, you gotta go listen to the backlog.
But it's for me.
Yeah, well, we still need the listens nonetheless. The bots can't do it themselves, damn it.
Right, we need to make $1 million. Okay, fair enough. I'm nervous, though. I can't drive at night until I find it.
Yeah, this next story, actually, Lonnie got it from two separate call-ins, the Coast to Coast AM. So November 1st, 2014 is the first one. June 13th, 2015 is the next one. The caller... This happened the night after Halloween. I deliver newspapers at night, and I was delivering newspapers that night, and it was business as usual. Around the curve, and I saw a group of kids in the middle of the road. There were about six of them, and they were all wearing gray robes with hoods. They didn't have the hoods on. They were down their backs. I thought that was kind of strange, because Halloween had ended about 10 hours before that. One of them saw me and started walking very quickly towards my car, saying something. She got very close to my car, and I could see that she was about 15 years old. And my first thought was, why was she out there? That's pretty young to be out there at that time of night. It was about 4:30 in the morning. I didn't have time to talk, so I drove around her. But then there were the other five kids in the middle of the road. And then they saw me and they fanned out to surround my car so I couldn't move, and that scared me. I drove up on the lawn to get around them, but they were coming pretty quickly at my car and I almost hit one of them. And then I thought, I'm going to call the police because this is quite odd. And then I thought, I better follow them so I could tell the police what they're doing. I'm sorry, he's making so many bad decisions here. Yeah, I saw them turn down the street and I turned to follow them. And it took about 10 seconds to get to the street.
Following them now?
And they were gone. They had disappeared, and there's no way they could have gone to even the first house. So that was this first one.
This is the same guy having a second one.
Yeah. And this is Minneapolis, just so that we're all on the same page for this. And sorry, it's Mary in Minneapolis that called. You know what? I think it's the exact same one. She just called into the show twice. I tried calling Coast to Coast, but nobody really helped me with it or told me what. And sorry, this is Darkness Radio, not Coast to Coast, the second one.
Darkness Radio is... What is it?
You can look that up. You know it is the exact same one, so I think we can skip it. But it does end with, I called Coast to Coast because David Weatherly was on there, and I guess he's the expert on what black-eyed kids. I thought maybe that's what they were. It sounded like that's what it could have been, but he didn't really say much. He just said that Halloween was the night that portals are open or something, and whatever can get through.
I just googled David Weatherly. Can you please go to General to see one of his books that he wrote?
Oh no, the Black Eyed Kids. They took his stuff.
I'm sorry, he has a book, and it's a funny Black Eyed Kid on the front.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, I just need to check. Does he have a 1990s webpage? He has to.
Oh, he has to. And why does it say Leprechaun Press? Okay, let's take a look here. I mean, David Weatherly looks exactly how you would think that he looks. I mean, I don't know why there's not any good-looking people in the UFO community.
I feel like if you're... Yeah, well, we can speculate on a different assholes of the UFO community at some point. But yeah, that's that one. And unfortunately, we're now done with phantoms and monsters for the time being. Next one, I found, I don't know why, this kept popping up when I was doing my research. It's another forum called Unexplained Mysteries. This man posted this, or I should say member. I think he's a man because his nickname is Hockey Dude. And he posted it on October 5th, 2006.
Okay.
The sighting I had happened in May of 05 in Midland, Michigan, where I was attending college. It was about 3:30 in the afternoon and a perfectly bright and sunny day. I was riding my bike through the neighborhood where I lived and came to a dead-end street where I spotted a trail off to my left that led into some woods. I prefer to ride on trails rather than sidewalks, so I started to head off this trail. However, I quickly veered from that direction when I saw what was standing down the path, roughly 50 feet from me. Whatever it was frightening enough to cause me to quickly turn the other direction. However, my curiosity soon got the best of me and I turned back and stopped at the trailhead to view what had startled me. I stood there with my bike for what seemed about a half minute staring at this thing. Whatever it was just sitting there absolutely still, just staring back at me. It was wearing a pitch black robe or cloak which had a black pointed hood covering its face. I couldn't see any facial features, just darkness. The most prominent feature, which made the entire experience the strangest, was the thing's hands. It had big, claw-like hands that appeared almost a foot in length. If any of you can picture the big werewolf gloves that one would wear for Halloween, that is the best I can describe it.
I can.
For a moment, I thought it was the Grim Reaper statue that someone had put in the woods for a prank, but there was an aspect of realism about it that kept me wanting to go closer. That kept me from wanting to go any closer. I was too frightened to go down that path alone, so I dashed to my house, which was about 2 minutes away. I grabbed one of my roommates and we drove back to that spot right away. We were back there within 10 minutes of my sighting, however it was gone. So the statue theory fell through. It was then that I realized what I saw was truly something strange. I did some research and found an article about a Mexican police officer which described what I saw almost exactly. However, this creature flew through the air and attacked this police car. In a way, I regret not trying to get closer to it. But when I read how the creature attacked the officer, I'm glad I didn't. Some other research on hooded beings led me to the links describing reptilian humanoids that were reported wearing such garments. Does anyone have anything to offer on any personal experiences or elaborate on this? That's where that one ends. That's the creepy.
Comment anything good? That is creepy.
No, I didn't really go through the comments on that one.
Okay.
Next up, we have finally come to Reddit. Chelsea, we are on to the Ghost Stories subreddit. This was posted 10 months ago by LifeWeird5293. WTF were those hooded figures I saw as a kid. When I was a kid, about 7 years old, I saw three hooded figures on two separate occasions, and I still wonder to this day what I had witnessed.
Two different occasions.
Here's to know if anyone else has seen or heard or anything like this. So the first time it happened was at night. I had not long gone to bed and was just laying there, quietly waiting to fall asleep. I used to be quite scared of the dark when I was that age, as I'd already had a few paranormal experiences by then, so my parents would leave the hallway light on for me and my door open a few inches. The way my bed was positioned against the wall, I could see down past my feet through the doorway and down the hallway. All of a sudden, I saw three hooded figures coming down the hallway in single file towards me, and then turning into my parents' room. The third one stopped for a moment and looked into my room straight at me, and that was when I screamed for my mom. The second time was a few months later, and during the daytime, I was just chilling in my room alone, playing with my toys, when something caught my eye in my parents' room. I turned to look and saw the three figures walking in single file again. Both times, I only saw them for a few seconds. Of course, I was scared, because that's not normal, but I didn't feel threatened by them. They were quite small, maybe 5 feet or so, and they looked quite like monks. Well, the clothes did anyways. I couldn't see their face as it was just blackness. They moved in the same way monks walk, like slow, deliberate paces and heads kind of down. My dad was fighting with the council at the time to stop them from cutting down the lovely big oak trees in front of our house, and he thought that they might be spirits connected to the trees in some way. I don't know who they were, but it was very strange, and I can still remember it so vividly 30 plus years later.
Love the dad's insight on that one, that it was spirits connected to the trees.
But I also actually really like that the background I gave on the historical reference of hooded figures matches those guys to a T. Came in a group of three, about 5 feet tall. That I think he could be right on that one.
Yeah, that's pretty. Either that or the parents were up to something, but...
Yes.
I mean, if I was up to something, I'd probably be like, they're probably connected to the trees outside. However, creepy nonetheless.
So, Chelsea, the woods are alive and well with robed figures.
If I was to encounter any type of figure, I would hope that it wouldn't be robed.
Hell, even a naked figure is probably a better one to come across in my mind.
Probably, because it's obscuring exactly what is standing behind the robe.
Yeah.
So there's all this mystery, which makes it worse. The imagination always makes it worse. Whatever it is that's standing there behind the robe could be a skeleton, could be a werewolf, could be a little person. You don't know.
It could be two kids in a robe. Who knows?
Exactly.
Trying to sneak into a movie.
And it just makes it worse when you don't know. I mean, I'd rather just have a skeleton standing there than... No, I would. That way I know what I'm dealing with. But they're creepy. And I'm going to say I'm surprised. I know we always say, stop talking about... What is it called again?
Alpas?
DuckTales.
Oh, DuckTales.
But I was surprised the Druids never came up. Because in my experience, it's always the Druids. Which we have brought up on an episode before.
Yeah.
Let's just refer back to that one real quick. In which we also brought up the DuckTales.
And with that, you guys got a lot of listening. So we won't keep you too much longer. I have been Taylor, here with Chelsea. We are Journey to the Fringe. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Journey to the Fringe. If you have liked what you have listened to, please like, share, subscribe, or follow, depending on what
venue you are listening to us through. Also, please, if possible, leave a 5-star review, as that really helps us in the algorithms. Should you wish to interact with us, please check us out on your social media of choice. I bet you we are there. And if you really want to communicate with us and give us ideas for new episodes or tell us that we're wrong and terrible, either way, please send us an email at journeytothefringe@gmail.com. For now, I'll see you in the next episode.